Today marks the end of spring break. It's a sad day for college students, not Sunday. For high schoolers, it's today. Are you guys not sad? What if we can have a never-ending spring break? Wouldn't that be a dream come true? Some of you nodded your head, and think more about that later. After spring break, we need to go back to school. If you teach in a college, you need to go back to school to teach, to work. That's your job. But why do we have to work or study? Don't you sometimes wonder, especially after such a fun spring break, why do we have to work or study? If you are bored by your work, or if you're bored by your study, you don't really want to go back to your work or study, right? Then why do we work or study? According to surveys, here are the main reasons why people work or study. As you listen, see if that's the reason for you to work or study. For money, in order to live a materially better life, to be able to live in bigger houses, to be able to drive better cars, to be able to wear beautiful, expensive clothes, brand name clothes and jewelry, okay, with a diamond, okay, that would be good. And to be able to eat more delicious and expensive food, to be able to go to expensive restaurants. I'm not sure which is the most expensive restaurant in Baton Rouge, but I'm sure some of you know. You want to go on to luxurious cruises. I've never been to a cruise. In the future, I hope I can go to a cruise with my wife, or go on to an exotic trip. I know one of you just came back from a trip from Europe, right? So you must have had a good time. So those are what we want to have when we have more money. With no money, no money, no talk. Some people say that. But to work or study in order to make more money can cause us to lose balance in our lives sometimes. If that's the only thing, only reason that you work, you can neglect your relationship with God. You can neglect your relationship with family, with friends. You might focus more on the raises. I want another raise, 10% raise, maybe more. I work so hard in order to get a bigger raise later. Or promotions, you want to compare with your coworkers. Why is he getting a 15% raise? I'm only getting 4%. You know, you want to compare and compare the cars, the houses, everything, and you will not feel happy. The fact is that it's an addictive, never-ending pursuit that causes more harm than good. When that's the main reason we work or study. Someone wise once said, trying to quench our thirst in life with money is like drinking soggy water from the ocean. The more you drink it, the more thirsty you feel, and finally, you will be dehydrated and you will die. That's what money does to people, just like drinking water from the ocean. So don't work or study for money. The second reason why people work or study is that they want to prove that they are valuable and they are useful through good performances on their job or in their studies. But when things are going well, you will feel fulfilled. See, I'm valuable. I have finished the project excellently. I'm praised by my boss. Or in school, you get straight A pluses, okay? And you're praised by teachers. You're admired by your schoolmates and your friends alike. But what if you don't get that A plus? What if you don't perform well in a specific project? You often feel defeated, upset, and depressed. So this is not a good reason for us to work or study. To work or study to prove that we are valuable, to prove that we are useful through good performances, because you cannot always perform on the peak. So you sometimes perform better, sometimes worse, and your emotions will go up and down. Third reason, I have no choice, I have to make a living. Similarly, some people think, I study because I have no choice. See, this is the system, school system. how can I not go to school? Okay, my parents will be angry at me. So some people work or study because they think they have no choice, because they have to, they're stuck. They feel like they're being forced to work. They feel that they're being forced to study. If you continue to have that mentality, you feel like, I am a miserable victim. Why do I have to go to work? Why do I have to go to study? I'm a victim. You feel miserable and you feel empty. You feel lost. You feel depressed too. So don't work or study because you are forced to. Because you have no choice, you have no option. The fourth reason, for interest, for a hobby. I heard that some kids wanted to just play, you know, video games as a job, you know, all day long. Because that's their hobby, that's their interest. I'm not sure what would happen if someone plays video games all day long. But I think for interest and hobby, it's a good reason for people to work or study. Because when you're interested in what you do, you are self-motivated. And you will have joy even facing a tough challenge at work or in your studies. If you're interested in it, you can be motivated and you will have joy despite the huge challenge that you're facing. So I think it's good to work or study for your interest or a hobby. The fifth reason, to serve people and to help people. That's why some people, they are in the medical industry. For example, some people, they are nurses. They try to help people. Some people even go to the third world country to just help people as a missionary, medical missionary, to treat the people there who cannot afford to pay the medical bills, treat them for free, help people with the painful illnesses. I think that's a very good reason for us to work too. The sixth reason, I don't know. I don't know why I have to work or I have to study. I just do it. These people are sleepwalkers, they're robots who are just following rules. They don't know why they are doing what they are doing. These people, they don't know why they are doing what they are doing. These people often will not have the incentive to try to improve on what they are doing. And they often feel empty, lost, depressed, because they don't know why they are doing what they are doing. They are lost. Which of the above reasons describe why you work or study? If I have a chance, maybe I do a survey and see how many people work or study for money, or study in order to get a good job in the future to be able to make money, or other reasons. But I believe that whether we can enjoy our work or study and be motivated to improve ourselves is closely related to the reason and the purpose of our work or study. If you don't have the proper reason and purpose for your work or study, I'm afraid you are not going to be able to enjoy your work or study, or to be motivated to improve yourself on your job, in your studies, or to just improve yourself as a person. Since God created us, He has the best reasons and purposes for our work or study according to His word in the Bible. I don't want you to suffer from after spring break depression. That's why I'm sharing with you this message today. In the next 25 minutes, we will see first, why isn't work or study a curse? Some people think that work or study is a curse. It's a bad thing. But I prove that it's a blessing. Second, how we can be blessed by our work. If it's indeed a blessing, then how can I be blessed by my work or study? Three, what's the primary purpose of our work or study? And four, the secondary, less important purpose of our work or study. Okay, let's look at number one. Why isn't work or study a curse, but a blessing? According to Genesis chapter 1, if you can't see the picture, it's a foot stepping on the head of a snake. In the Bible, God cursed the snake because he was a serpent, because he was used by Satan to deceived our ancestors, Adam and Eve. So I believe originally they took the snakes to walk at night, but God said, no more snakes, you have to suffer by just, you know, walking, not walking, just sliding on the ground. And when the snakes slide on the ground, they were supposed to suffer some type of discomfort, okay? So, and the Bible also says that Satan's descendants, devils, they would try to attack the heel of human beings. We found out that that's Jesus Christ when he was crucified on the cross. And also, but the human beings will be able to attack the head of Satan. So that's what Jesus did when he was crucified on the cross. You know, we saw him being hurt, and yet he triumphed by being able to achieve the greatest work of all. Whoever believes in what he did for us, for our sins, on the cross and was resurrected, can have eternal life with God in heaven. But according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to 28, let me read it. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. God blessed them. God did not say, I curse you, be fruitful and increase in number. But God said, he blessed them. Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Notice the highlighted words, bless them, increase in numbers, subdue, rule over, or to take care of, to manage. So we all have some type of managerial skills within us to take care of what God created. Some people believe that work is a curse to punish our sinning against God. The Bible, according to what I read, before we sinned, it was a blessing for people to work. But yes, the Bible also says that after people have sinned, God said you have to toil, you have to work hard in order to just make ends meet, to feed yourself. That seems to be a truth, a curse because of our sins. Do you know why people suffer from their work after they have had the sin nature inside of them? I believe it's because of that sin nature inside of us. Satan is trying to take advantage of our sin nature to control us. Because when we work, Satan tries to tempt us to work more and more. Like some people drinking water from ocean, salty water, they want to drink more and more, and they will never be satisfied. Satan tries to deceive us by tricking us to think that work more and we will be happier. And then we'll be controlled by work. And if Satan can control us, then we belong to him, okay? So we will not be blessed by God. So the reason why we seem to be cursed by work is that we have a tendency to be controlled by our work. And then we become a slave of our work or study. But when you study, you're preparing for your future work. So we often fall into Satan's trap. It's a trap that we so very easily fall into. If you work or study 5 weekdays, and during the weekends you are still studying or working for hours, you don't have time for God, because you think getting straight A's or being able to do well in the project at work is more important than that. Let me get the A's first. Maybe I have some leisure time. I can come to church maybe once a month, maybe once a quarter, maybe once a year, maybe twice a year, on Christmas Sunday and on Easter Sunday. And that's what people do. And the third time would be in their funeral. So that's the 3 times most people often come to church, okay? And so we often become workaholics, or if there's a term that's called studyholic, so we become studyholic. We often for the next time for God, for prayers, for Bible reading, for coming to church, for Bible study and worship. We don't have time for family, for friends. We don't have time to relax, to enjoy some fun, healthy activities like sports. How many of you have been exercising regularly? I wonder. And how many of you are enjoying sports, you know, as a way to relax yourself? I am one of those. When I feel stressed, I go exercise. Okay. So and I enjoy those times, and I know having a balanced life is very important. I don't want to be a slave of my work or my study, studying the Bible. We don't want to be a slave, especially those who have restored the relationship with God. They have the power to resist the temptation to become a slave of work or study. If you have not believed in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't have the power inside to resist your sin nature. It will control you. But we don't have to be a slave anymore if we have Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and we have Holy Spirit to help us. Don't be tricked by Satan to become a slave of your work or study. The key to not be a slave of our work or study is to be close to God. Some of you think that to be close to God, to pray, to study, is an obligation, it's a burden, more things to do, it's like my studies or work. No, it's meant for you to gain insight and strength for your life, so that you can live a better life. So we have seen that work doesn't have to be a curse. It can be a blessing. Then how can we be blessed by our work or studies? To be teachable, to be faithful to God, and to be teachable by God. That's the key. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 2. Let me read it. So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it's required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. After we have restored the relationship with God through Jesus Christ, everything we do should be for God. And then appreciation of God's love for us. As a result, we are willing to do everything, including work or study, faithfully. What does it mean to be faithful? It means not to be sloppy. It means not to be irresponsible. We don't want to be a slave, but we don't want to be sloppy or irresponsible either. See, it's a struggle. Human beings tend to go to one extreme or the other. Either extremely hardworking, become workaholic or studyholic, or the other end, become a slacker, okay? A lazy slacker, a sloppy or irresponsible worker or student. How can we strike the balance? Only God can give us the wisdom. That's why we need to be close to God. Don't promise one thing but not finish it. Don't be sloppy and irresponsible. Some people promise people many things, but they never get all of them done. And some people just keep promising people, they never get anything done. Don't promise things that you cannot finish. God never promised things that he cannot finish. God is always faithful. If you are sloppy and irresponsible to people you can see, I believe you'll be more sloppy and irresponsible to God whom we cannot see. So don't cheat at your work or study. How many of you have cheated at your work or study? Don't want to embarrass you, so you don't need to put up your hand, but most of us have cheated at work or studies. You might say, I've never cheated. Let's see. Have you done instant messaging or text messaging while your boss is giving a presentation because you're so bored, and you do some instant messaging or text messaging? Or in class, the teacher is boring, let me do some instant messaging with my friends across from the room. See, now people have better ways to cheat than before because of technology. Or even in exams, people use their cell phones to cheat. So, don't cheat at your work or studies. And don't try to skip required work or study simply because you think you won't be caught. Either you or someone else will finally suffer for your sloppy work or study. This Friday, I heard that the friend of a resident of an apartment, after drinking a lot of wine, just fell from the balcony on the second floor. You know what happened to him? He didn't die. And the reason why he fell was because the fence was loose. So drinking and then wanted to look at the stars, and they just fell from the fence because the fence was loose. Luckily, the resident's friend only had a minor injury. Amazingly, he could have died if the head touched the ground first. And the resident decided to sue the owner of the apartment to get some money. And the owner should have a document showing that after the previous resident moved out, the balcony fence was checked and found in good condition before another resident moved in, right? So that's the procedure. But the assistant manager was sloppy with her work and never filed the documents that she was supposed to file. Okay? The owner asked her to file the document, but she just stacked up everything and then set everything aside. Finally, the assistant manager just left from the work, but leaving a pile of mess there. But the owner had to find the document, or otherwise she would be sued and can end up in bankruptcy. You know, in the United States is a country of suing people, okay? That's the tradition of the United States. Fortunately, the owner, after hours of searching in the piles of paper, was able to find that document. And then the resident admitted, because there's evidence to show that the fence was okay, then what happened? Nair, the resident, finally admitted that he took off the fence when he was moving some big furniture, when he was moving in, and he did not put that back correctly. See? Do you see the consequence of sloppy work? The sloppy resident could have caused his friend's death. And the sloppy assistant manager could have caused the owner of the apartment losing a big lawsuit and ending up in bankruptcy. So don't be sloppy, either as a worker or a student. But I believe only those people who are close to God and teachable by God can have the wisdom to be faithful in God's eyes. I cherish the quality teachability very highly, either at work or in any relationship. You don't want to date or be married with someone who cannot be teachable. That means once you are with that person, you're stuck. That's what you see is what you get. That person will never improve, okay? And God never wants us to not be teachable. Because if we're not teachable, we'll never be able to get better. None of us is perfect. And every one of us needs to continue to improve in God's eyes. That's why teachability is so important. If you're teachable, you can still improve and learn from the little mistakes. If you are not teachable, you will never learn from those little mistakes. And finally, you will suffer from a big mistake and learn your lesson the painful way. You don't want to learn your lesson the painful way, so be teachable by God. So true blessing comes from being faithful and teachable by God. You know what's the true blessing from faithful and teachable work or study? Joy and happiness. If you're faithful, if you're teachable, with your work or study, you will have joy and happiness. And that's why the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 19, "Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possession, and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot, and be happy in his work, this is the gift of God." God, only God, will enable us to enjoy our work or study and be happy. You might think I can depend on myself to be happy if I do excellently at my job or in my studies. But you might end up becoming a slave of your work or your study, and you will not truly have joy. you become a slave, and Satan will control you. So the only way that we can have joy and happiness with our work or study is to be faithful to God. Work as if you work for God. Study as if you study for God, and be teachable. We're not perfect, but as long as we can still learn and try to improve ourselves, we will only become better over time. Now, let me share with you the primary purpose of our work or study. It is to glorify God with good work or study. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God." When we work or study faithfully or teachably and help our co-workers or schoolmates who are in need, instead of being snobby, irresponsible, or addicted to work or study, and being indifferent to the needs of people because we are so busy with our own pursuit of our goal of excellence at work or studies, we often will ignore the needs of other people. If we instead try to be faithful, teachable, according to God's guidance, and help those people who are in need when we see them in need, you know what? I believe people will see that we are different. We're different because we can still do well in our work or study, and yet we are not controlled by our work or study. And we can even reach out and help those people who are in need. What is the world most in need of? Love. People just focus on themselves. It's an individualistic society that we're in. Everybody just focus on themselves, want to do well themselves. Everything has to be focusing around themselves. But if we can break that and being willing to reach out instead of focusing just on ourselves, but focus on other people's needs, that's a great way for you to glorify God. Because people will see that. I see it's good to believe in the God that people are believing in the Bible. I also want to know this God. I also want to believe in this God. You know what? That's the best. That's the most powerful way for you to witness for God and share the gospel with people. Because you are not just sharing with your words as if it's just a bunch of knowledge, but you have shown that your knowledge helps with your life. It's life-changing knowledge. It's living truth that's in the Bible. The second purpose of work or study, is to don't be a burden to the society. According to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7 to verse 12, read from 7 to 10 verse, okay? "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example." Here Paul is talking, "We were not idle when we were with you. We were not doing nothing. We were not idle. Nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you." Not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help. Paul was the apostle of Jesus Christ. He was the church leader. He deserved to have people to provide his physical needs, financial needs, but he tried not to be a burden to those people. He worked and he served God, and help other people and serve people by teaching them God's word. "But in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat." If a man will not work, he shall not eat. I wonder what if at your home there's like a rule like this. If you don't do your the chores, you will not eat. Okay, you have to do some work in order to earn your bread. And Verse 11 to 12 talks about some bad examples. We hear that some among you are idle, they are not busy, they are busybody, they are busy for nothing. When they have nothing to do, they try to be busy for nothing, to do silly things. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. Settle down and earn, do something, earn the bread you eat. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. I know many people decide to just stay at home, do nothing, and live on social welfare, although they can work or study. I know some friends like that, because they calculated the money that they get from social welfare is more than the money they can earn from their job. So there's no incentive. Because for those people, working is to make money. If I cannot make as much money, why do I work? I just stay at home, okay? So they think it's a blessing to not work and still have the money for them to spend. They don't really understand the blessing that comes from work, but I'll show you later. These people have become a burden to a society. If the society has more of such people who take advantage of the social welfare system, you know what? I believe the social welfare system will finally go bankrupt. And those people who are really in need, they cannot be helped. Because there are people who really, they might be disabled, they have no capacity to work, and they need other people who have the capacity to take care of them. So don't be a burden to the society. Have a job, any job. Put down your pride. Go play burgers at McDonald's next door and do it faithfully, teachably, and joyfully to glorify God. Do you know that you can glorify God even flipping burgers? I'm going to show you a video. Last Wednesday, I went across the news and I captured a video. This news talks about a millionaire burger flipper. Do you want to watch the news? Let's go.
Remember the old jingle at McDonald's, you deserve a break today? Now imagine getting a break of a lifetime, winning more than $2 million in lottery, and yet deciding to continue working at your old job flipping burgers at McDonald's. Would you do it? Well, get ready to meet a man who did. Here's John Mervin with the story. Is it possible that this man's down with meaning in life at McDonald's? I don't think much shall change my life, just to pop up a minute. 18 months ago, Luke Pittard in Wales won $2.7 million in the British lottery and quit his job at McDonald's. But now he's back at work at the Golden Arches. So, why? He says, to be honest, there's only so much relaxing you can do. Is he crazy? A few fries short of a supersize? Maybe not.
I want to read resources. How long can you go? Just relax. 4 days. The funny issue will be that I'll come back to work. I'll still work.
You would? Yeah. Remember the lunch ladies in Minnesota who won $95 million?
Today we're going to have hot ham and cheese sandwiches, turkey wraps.
Some of them are still working, like Luke. Even though Luke makes more money on interest than showing up for work, he says McDonald's makes him happy. Maybe it's that Welsh work ethic.
I don't really know that many people that are Welsh, but
Kathy's in here.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, she says.
In fact, you could say that Catherine Zeta-Jones won the Michael Douglas lottery, yet she still shows up for work.
She's beautiful.
She's Welsh, you know that?
She's, yes.
From Wales.
Take it from Luke Pittard, who says, a bit of hard work never did anyone any harm. Not even Catherine Zeta-Jones. Well, good morning, America. John Berman, ABC News.
All right. Could you turn on the light? Thank you. There's only so much relaxing you can do. Most people can only relax and do nothing for 4 days. And some people think to be able to relax forever, that's a blessing. But you look at those people, they already became millionaires, and yet they still found that they needed to work, because working brings blessing. If you think that working or studying is the a curse. But not working or not studying is a blessing. Think about if you have a never-ending spring break. I know some of you have been doing nothing but just playing video games for the 5 days or maybe 7 days during spring break, either the past week or the week earlier, and they will just play games day and night, and then they get hungry, they will just eat junk food all day long, okay? But they are still feeling empty, hungry, and lonely. And if you have such a never-ending spring break, what will happen to you finally? I believe you'll become a blind man or woman. You'll probably weigh 400 pounds, and you probably will have dead fingers. Your fingers can no longer move because they are disabled playing games for so long, okay, nonstop. Our fingers are not designed to play games for like 8 or 10 hours continuously. That's no good for you. So that's why even millionaires work or study has the following benefits. As I thought about that, and I had a conversation with Philip on his birthday. So I found out that work gives structure to your life. It's not just for making money. Even if you are a millionaire, you don't have financial need, you still need to work because work gives you your life structure. Second, work keeps you engaged so that we will not feel idle, and as a result, do silly things without work or study. Thirdly, work or study keeps our body and mind active. Alive. That's why most people after retirement will just die within 5 years. Because once their mind and body become inactive, they think it's time to enjoy my life. No more work, their mind, body becomes inactive. And the body and mind can, you know, just deteriorate very quickly if you don't let it stay active. Just like a car, if you don't drive it for a long time, soon the car will be not drivable. Fourthly, work or study keeps us connected with people who may become our friends. Fifthly, work or study develops our relational skills when we interact with people. Sixth, work or study develops our sense of responsibility and accountability. It trains you to become more responsible. Last, it keeps us connected to the society, to know what's going on in the society. So to conclude, work or study is a blessing in the form of joy and happiness if we work or study faithfully and teachably according to God's will. We were created by God to work or study to glorify our perfect God through good works and to contribute instead of becoming a burden to the society. I hope you'll feel happy now to go back to school. Tomorrow is good day, but there's a reason to be happy. You know, when you have school, I believe you should be happier than when you have nothing to do at home. Okay, just playing video games. Let's pray. Oh dear Heavenly Father, I thank you because you have created us in a mighty, wonderful way, amazing way, and that we're created in your image. That you have given us such ability to be able to work and to manage, to take care of what you created, other creatures. We are special. We are not designed to not work, to do nothing, but through our work, when we work faithfully and teachably, according to your will, God, you will bless us. You'll make us joyful. You'll make us happy because of our work for you. God, help us, each one of us, to correct our misconceptions about work or study. Make us joyful, happy workers for God, and let us not work for money and other things that the world claims that we should work for. Because those things will only make us become slaves, and that will be controlled by Satan. God, help us by giving us wisdom when we fear you, when we worship you, when we praise you and remember how good you are, and we are willingly following your commandments in the Bible for our good. Following God's word is not an obligation, it's a blessing. So bless us when we know how to work and study according to your will, and through everything we do at work and study, let us be able to glorify you and bring people to wonder why are they so different and so good. And we can share with them the reason of our hope. It is because of Jesus Christ. It's because of God in our lives. It's because we have the Bible to guide us in our daily living. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.